1-877-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFBA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Great Lives, our topic this morning. Bill Crawley, the director of Great Lives and distinguished professor emeritus of history at UMW here this morning. Bill, it is good to have you here. This is our annual talk about Great Lives. How many years now has this been?
Well, first, Ted, thanks for having me. I always enjoy talking with you every year. We've done it for quite a few years. The series is now in its 13th year.
13 years. And this is I remember when you first came in, I don't think you or anybody could have imagined it's gone to the heights that it has.
Now, we had no idea when we started this back in 04, basically as a course, an academic course, which it still is, and which is something that most people, I suspect, in the community don't even realize, that it's an academic course, 4 credit. Students enroll in it and take it just like any other class. The difference is some of the lectures, in fact, 18 of them, which is about half of them, are open to the public, and that's what the community knows about, but we actually have a class. But anyway, it started out as just a class, and then we had the idea, well, you know, we can get some good speakers to come in. Why not open them to the public? And we did. We started out in a regular-sized classroom. We moved up to a bigger one, and then we moved up to one of the auditoriums on campus. That filled up. So we went to bigger and bigger venues until finally now we're at the largest venue on campus, unless we had it in the convocation center, but that's not really conducive to a lecture. So
yeah.
Dodd Auditorium seats over 1,000, and sometimes we fill it. So it's been good.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I know there have been some when you've done that. And what's amazing is, and it just shows that people want that and draw to this kind of information. It's a lecture.
Yeah, it is. That's the kind of surprising thing here in the middle of the week, and really sometimes the middle of the winter when it first starts off, it's always a challenge sometimes, or at least you keep your fingers crossed about the weather. We have had pretty good luck. But no, it shows you, I think, what kind of community we have here in the Fredericksburg area, that we have such large numbers of people who seek out and enjoy some intellectual stimulation. And we've been able to provide it, and it's been very rewarding, the kind of support we've gotten from the community.
I'm sure you're already thinking of next year and the year after.
I'm thinking the year after, that's right. Two or three years down the road.
You have to.
Yeah, you do have to. And one of the most frequent comments that I hear from people is, how do you keep finding these topics, and when are you going to give out of topics? Well, the answer is you never give out of topics, because there's just an infinite number of interesting lives, great lives, influential lives. And even if you do one, sure enough, a few years later, if it's a big subject, somebody will write a new book taking a new look at it, so you have a reinterpretation of it. So occasionally we repeat them, not often, but occasionally we repeat them. We ask the audience sometimes for recommendations, and I remember probably the last time we did this a year or so ago, you won't believe this, but we had close to 400 different nominees. There was 390-some names that people mentioned, and most of them would be worthy. Occasionally you get some that probably wouldn't be appropriate, but by and large, all of them are ones that I'd like to do if we had time.
And I guess one of the things that hinders you is either the author being available or being in – and being someone that you can afford to bring here.
You're exactly right. They are the criteria that come into play. We try to get the most recent biographer or the best known biographer on each of them. And when I'm researching them, I find different things. I mean, sometimes I find that the authors, the main historian on that particular figure is deceased, or frequently lives far away, particularly if we're doing European figures. Many of the main biographers, not surprisingly, live in Europe, and that's pretty much precluded in terms of costs and so forth. And then some people we'd like to get are just so expensive. I mean, one that just pops in my mind, a biography of Johnny Carson came out a couple of years ago, and a number of people said, hey, you ought to do Johnny Carson. Well, that was a great idea. But I looked into it, and I learned a little bit about the biographer. And truthfully, I haven't even contacted him because I just know he's going to be out of our price range. I may try him anyway just to see, but sometimes you just know we can't afford him.
Yeah, and I guess you also have to have a person who's able to, in this format, to be able to stand up and give an interesting lecture.
Well, exactly right. I think one thing I've learned early on is that writing an excellent book sometimes does not necessarily translate into being a superb
sure.
performer. Oftentimes it is something, but some of our best speakers have been people whose books, in fact, one recent one we had, and I'm sure that some of your audience probably were at this lecture because we had a big crowd, was the one on Johnny Cash. And it was a superb, many people think one of the best presentations we ever had. Well, he hadn't even written a book. He's working on a book, but he's not a well-known author.
Yeah.
But he was a terrific speaker.
For people who just go to these, and for when, in your case too, probably reading most of these biographies, boy, you've over the years have gained a lot of knowledge, I would think, on a lot of different, on a wide variety of subjects, because you go all over the place. And as we get going and talk about some of the what you've already had this year and what's still to come up, it's not as though you just stick to one. It's not because we're Revolutionary War here or Civil War.
Right.
You stick to that. You go all over the place.
We certainly have gone all over the place. And both, of course, mainly legitimate, real life historical figures, but we've even thrown a few fictional mm-hmm. icons. We've done James Bond. We've done it's not a long list. Every year we'll probably have one that's a fictional character if it's a major one.
Yeah,
it's a lot of people. You know, I know one I wanted to do. Was a new book out on Wonder Woman.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it's by a legitimate, a bona fide historian. I believe she teaches at Harvard, and it got great reviews. And, of course, when you take a figure like that, what the importance of it is the development of that character and what that shows about the times as years go by and so forth. And unfortunately, we failed to get that author to speak. But that would have been a good one. And so we mix it up. And indeed, we even have, in fact, we've got this year coming up, a non-human figure, that is Secretariat. So now a lot of times people say to me, which we've done once before many years ago, a number of years ago, when a person recommends somebody to me and I'll say, well, I'm not sure that quite rises to the level of greatness. And they'll say, well, you did a horse. What do you mean?
So, right. Do you have people come up to you a lot and just say, hey, have you ever thought of?
Oh, yes. I'll give you a good example of that. I well remember this. Probably was, I'm guessing, maybe 4 years ago. One of my colleagues on the faculty at Mary Washington came up to me and said, I've got a great life for you to do in your series. You really need to do Henrietta Lacks. And I said, oh, who is that? And I'd never heard the name in my life that I knew of. And one of my sort of overall criteria is if I never heard of the person, I'm figuring they may not be really well known to the general public or well enough known. Well, I never heard of Henrietta Lacks. Well, I found out I should have heard of, or at least, and I did hear of very soon thereafter because she was, I won't get into the whole story because that lecture had to be postponed from earlier.
Yeah, it's coming up.
It's coming up. So I know people want to get, in fact, it's going to be April the 7th. So people should come and find out about Henrietta Lacks if they don't know. Many people do know by now because a very interesting story of this woman who died around 1951. The short of it is they saved some of her cells. They continued to thrive, which is not the normal thing, quite unusual. Usually the cells would die very soon. They didn't, and they still haven't. And so that's why the book's called Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, and those cells have been used in research really from that day to this. It's a very interesting story. So that topic will – and that book, it seems to me that that book, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, has been read by every book club in America. And it has. It was on the bestseller list of the New York Times for months and months. I wouldn't be surprised if it's still on there. So it'll be interesting to hear the author, Rebecca Skloot, talk about that. I'm sort of glad in a way that it had to be postponed because of the big snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And we could have had it. I mean, the university was open, and we could have had it that night that was scheduled. But she couldn't come. She was coming from California, and she was ill. But anyway, she's rescheduled, and she's coming in April. And I think it's better in a way because the weather should be good by then, so maybe more people can come.
Bill Crowley here, the director of Great Lives. We're talking about Great Lives this morning. We will continue. We'll talk about what's coming up. We'll take a look at what we've missed over the last month or so with Great Lives. When we come back on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
The Breakout Game Fredericksburg is the region's first ever real live interactive escape the room game. The goal is simple: break out of the room within 60 minutes by working as a group with friends, family, or coworkers. In the room, you'll find clues to solve a series of puzzles in order to crack the ultimate code and escape the room. The Breakout Game Fredericksburg is this week's 50-50 offer. Certificates on sale this Wednesday at 9 a.m. at newstalk1230.net. Keyword 50.
Stafford County invites you to tour around your own hometown.
The 2016 season at George Washington's Ferry Farm. Alma Withers, another exciting year.
Oh, we're so looking forward to it. Opening day, March 1st. The dig opens March 21st. Then we will move into first-time grandparents, grandchild archaeology camp. Our summer camps begin with history camp, all of our archaeology camps. And as we move forward, and the season will end with our gingerbread contest.
Stafford Tourism is a proud sponsor of Town Talk. To find out details on a wide variety of great local events, visit tourstaffordva.com.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sandy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early, so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
People think saving money is hard, but really, it's easy. It's as simple as changing a few spending habits. For free tips on how to save the easy way, check out feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Bill Crowley here. We're talking about Great Lives at the lecture series at the University of Mary Washington. Who came up? Did you come up with the name Great Lives?
No, I didn't. I remember that very clearly, how that happened. Many of your listeners will probably remember my former colleague, Carter Hudgens. And he and I together came up with the idea. I can't exactly remember who thought of this or that, but he was chairman of the history department then. And I worked with him to develop this course on biography. But after we decided how we would structure it and the format, the question was, what are we going to call it? And I was trying to come up with different things. And Carter, Carter said, let's just call it Great Lives. Well, Carter, that's good. And we did. And it stuck. And it's simple and straightforward, although it does bring up the frequent question of what constitutes greatness. And more than a few people have said to me from time to time, if it's a topic that for one reason or another they don't like or they don't find particularly compelling, they'll say, how can you call that a great life, particularly if it's a what we would consider to be a bad person?
Right, I was going to say like a Hitler, a Stalin,
exactly,
something like that.
Both of whom we've done.
Yeah.
And Mao and others that could be on that list of not good guys. Well, I'll tell you one that I really received some criticism. People are very generous usually. They don't really criticize the topics very much. I guess they don't like them. They just don't come to the lectures. But one that did generate some blowback was Hugh Hefner. A number of people said, how can you call Hugh Hefner great? Well, I call him great because not because he was necessarily good or you might or might not like him. You might not subscribe to the Playboy philosophy, but the the undeniable fact is he was influential in American culture in the last half of the 20th century. I don't think you could come up with anybody much more, any figure much more influential than he was, for better or for worse, in terms of cultural development. So my point is that we interpret great as meaning influential, sometimes merely a very interesting or compelling figure for one reason or another. Not necessarily that their impact was a positive one, but it did have to be. It did have to have some impact, and that's the way we choose them. And it's a fairly elastic interpretation, I guess. It allows us to do a lot of different things. But the key is not great equals good, it's great equals big, influential.
We are really lucky to have something like this in our community. John Hennessy told me once that he didn't know of a series like this anywhere in the country, and especially the fact that it's all free. I can see somebody having something like this, but you would buy a season ticket for
that's
it.
That's exactly right. Now, people tell me frequently that these speakers from all over the country almost invariably will volunteer to me that, of course, it makes me feel very good to hear this, but they say it. I don't make this up. They say there's nothing like this in the country, by which I think they mean a program focusing on biography, mm-hmm. first of all. Secondly, that it brings in such eminent figures. I mean, we have wonderful professors at the university, and they have, many of them have participated in the series. But in addition to that, to be able to bring in people from all over the country. But the other thing that you hit on, Ted, is the fact that it's free. Now, it is free, and the reason that it is free is because we've had such wonderful support, starting with John Chappell of Philadelphia, who established the endowment that allowed us to create the series, and he has been just continued to be enormously supportive in every way, including financially. But the key thing, I think, now is community support, and people have been so generous, realizing, as a person said to me, just yesterday, a person came up to me whom I didn't know and to tell me that he had made a very nice contribution to the Great Lives series. And he said that the reason he did it was he wasn't being boastful. He just said, I think that people who can do it ought to provide support to create a program for the enjoyment of people who cannot afford it necessarily. So many people, I don't know the exact number, but hundreds of people in the community have supported us, from relatively small amounts to very substantial contributions, and that is what allows us to continue to do it. So we really appreciate. Of course, the students benefit from it too. The students in my class, the students at the university.
Yeah.
But the overall community benefits from this widespread and generous support.
And if someone's interested in giving, can they just go to the? Is there information on the UMW website?
There is. In fact, the our own website is. It's umw.edu/greatlives.
Great Lives, right.
And that has the information too. Truthfully, if we want to make a contribution, could just send it to University of Mary Washington Foundation, or we'll get it most likely.
Yeah.
It designate it Great Lives, but the website is a good place to find a format for doing it.
Usually I talk to you right around the time you're getting going or you're a lecture or two in. We're more than that. You started on January the 14th with Jack London, and just recently finished up, or the last one was Matthew Fontaine Maury. How's the season gone so far?
Ted, I guess I say this every year. In fact, I know I say it every year. I say it's the best one we've ever had, but it's also true every year, it seems to me, and people will say that to me. I've gotten a lot of kidding about always saying how this is the best ever, but it certainly has been good so far. Great lectures. The one on Jack London was good. George O'Keefe was good. Alexander Graham Bell was good. One of the all-time best, and people who were there would attest to it, is the Johnny Cash lecture. So it's off to a good start. Attendance has been very good. I guess we're averaging, and mind you, this is an auditorium that seats 1,000, so I guess the average attendance this year, we take the count the attendance, but I'm not sure. It's probably in the neighborhood of 700 to 800. So I'd say 700 this year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really. I've had speakers walk in and they see the audience. And that's what they say. Wow, this is. And oftentimes they say this is the biggest audience I've ever spoken to, because some of these people are primarily writers, biographers, or teachers, or professors, and they aren't accustomed to speaking to hundreds of people. And the audiences are great. Let me tell you one other thing that people, speakers almost invariably say. At the end, we have a Q&A session, and it's a rare speaker that doesn't say afterwards to me as we're leaving, they say, you know, those were great questions. And they are. And that's one of the most enjoyable parts of it to me, is to hear the audience question. And I think the speakers appreciate that.
Yeah. I went to the lecture last year on the last one I went to was Matthew Brady and the questions. And I learned so much.
Well, I do too. I really do. It's forced me to study things or individuals that I probably would not have done. And it's very hard to keep up with all the topics that we have. The other thing that it forces me to do, well, I like to do it anyway. I would do it anyway, and I have done it anyway for a long time, and that is read a lot of reviews that come out.
Mm-hmm.
So it forces me to kind of stay current with what's available and try to choose from that. When people say, how do you choose them, that's a major component, is to read book reviews when they come out and try to see what the latest interpretations are.
Bill Crowley here. He's the director of Great Lives, also the Distinguished Professor Emeritus of History at the University of Mary Washington. When we come back, we'll get into what's coming up next with Great Lives and what will be going on February, March, and into middle of April with the Great Lives series. As Bill mentioned, umw.edu/greatlives is where you can find the full schedule, and you will definitely want to get into a number of them in late winter and early spring. And we will talk about that when we come back with Bill Crowley on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
ABC News, I'm Joan Bennett. On this President's Day, flags are at half-staff following the weekend death of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. ABC's Jim Avila with more about the Texas Ranch Resort, where Justice Scalia spent his final hours.
The judge who loved to hunt was scheduled to shoot birds Saturday with an exclusive group of mostly Texan couples who flew in by private jets to hunt, dine, and hike the grounds of the 30,000-acre property adjacent to Big Bend National Park.
President Obama says a replacement will be nominated in due time, but Republican leaders insist the next president should make the nomination. Snow, sleet, and freezing rain making travel a nightmare from eastern Ohio to Washington, D.C. 21 states from Georgia to Maine will be hit with an icy mix. A human rights group says a makeshift clinic supported by Doctors Without Borders was targeted and destroyed by Russian warplanes in northern Syria. This is ABC News.
Okay, from the start.
Acerola cherry.
Alfalfa leaf, aloe vera, apples, asparagus, banana.
Beets, bell pepper, broccoli.
Blueberries, blackberries, cranberry.
We make Texas superfood from 55 raw, vine-ripened fruits and vegetables. And then we add nothing.
Pineapple, sweet potato,
papaya, parsley.
In a capsule or a powder, one daily dose of Texas superfood delivers the healthy benefits of 55. Count them. 55 fresh fruits and vegetables, and you can see them all on TexasSuperfood.com.
Raspberry, spinach, the nutrients that we need on a daily basis.
Thousands of people benefit from taking Texas Superfood every day. Shouldn't you be one of them?
TexasSuperfood.com.
Doctors, pharmacists, nurses, and your grandmother all recommend that you eat more fruits and vegetables every day. So if you can't, won't, or don't, Texas Superfood is made for you.
It's borderline shocking how much energy I have.
Join us on TexasSuperfood.com.
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 News Talk 1230 WFVA Local News.
that.
Winter returns in a big way. National Weather Service says heaviest snow from Culpeper to southern Maryland, Leonardtown, Maryland, with 6 inches. Around 5 in the Fredericksburg area, a little over 5 inches in Culpeper this morning. Driving conditions challenging in the Fredericksburg area and western portions of the Northern Neck and Middle Peninsula. VDOT says snow covers large portions of I-95 and primary roads. You're advised to avoid non-essential travel today to allow crews to make progress plowing and treating roads. Lower volume secondary roads and subdivision streets in the region and western Northern Neck and Middle Peninsula in severe condition and are completely snow covered. VDOT crews making repeated passes on I-95 and primary roads to push snow off the road as quickly as it falls. VDOT tells us they will remain at work 24 hours a day in rotating 12-hour shifts to plow roads and apply sand, salt, and treatment chemicals. It remains a wintry day. And again, VDOT asks if you can stay off the roads today to stay off the roads. There is a Newstalk 1230 app for your iPhone and Android. You can download it free today from Apple iTunes or Google Play. With the app, you can connect with us on Facebook and Twitter and listen to Newstalk 1230 live streaming 24/7, 365. Snowwatch will give you all kinds of information at newstalk1230.net. We also have information on our Facebook page. This is Newstalk 1230 WFVA. Here's your health report.
There's now word the Zika virus may cause blindness in newborns. A new study out of Brazil shows the virus can cause babies' eyes to scar. They say this new finding means that infants born in areas where the Zika virus is rampant should undergo retinal eye exams. Fitness experts say the best way to make sure you exercise is to grab a partner, a friend or sweetheart, someone who'll agree to work out with you at the gym as part of a regular routine. Gary Calabrese is with the Cleveland Clinic.
When you think of the excuses people make about why they don't want to exercise, yet everybody wants to spend more time with their spouse or significant other, this is a way we can combine them both.
Calabrese says that working out together can help you both stay motivated. He says it's easier to reach your goals and increase your output when you have another person to help push you along. That's your 24/7 health update. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Here's your Newstalk 1230 WFVA Weather Channel forecast.
Snow likely here through the morning, but a transition to a wintry mix is expected this afternoon as temperatures will climb to near 30 this afternoon. Periods of rain and freezing rain this evening will eventually change over to all rain tonight as temperatures rise through the 40s. Showers likely Tuesday, 52. Wednesday, partly cloudy, 52. For Newstalk 1230 WFVA, Richard Wettig at the Weather Channel.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Bill Crowley here, the director of Great Lives. That's where we're talking about the lecture series at the University of Mary Washington. It will continue through April 14th. Now, let's jump into the schedule coming up. Movie on Jesse Owens is coming out, and not only is the movie coming out, you've got a lecture with Jeremy Schapp coming up.
Exactly right. It's next one. So this coming Thursday, the 18th. That was a purely fortuitous happening. It wasn't fortuitous that I chose Jesse Owens. We chose him because of the realization that it was the 80th anniversary of the famous Berlin Olympics,
yeah.
1936, the Hitler Olympics, where Jesse Owens was so successful. So we scheduled, and we got Jeremy Schapp to do it from ESPN, who is the author of the primary biography. There may be others, but Jeremy is the author of the main biography of Jesse Owens. So we did that, and we scheduled it and put it in. Another thing people say is, why do you schedule and when you do? And the answer to that is simple. We do it when we can get the speakers, and it's a kind of like putting together a jigsaw puzzle to try to work it out. Anyway, but that's when we ended up having him. Well, it turns out, so what I'm saying is, it was purely luck that it turned out that there's a major movie on Jesse Owens coming out the day after the lecture. The very next day, when we scheduled, I didn't even know that was going to be a movie, let alone that it was going to be on that date.
Yeah.
So we were lucky. That one should be good.
The 25th, you've got Ethel Payne.
Yes.
Who is Ethel Payne?
I'll bet that 95% of the people who see the schedule ask the same question as I did when I first learned about Ethel Payne. She was, I think the title of the book is The First Lady of the Black Press, or The First Lady of Black Journalism. She was originally a journalist. I think she wrote, an African-American woman wrote for the Chicago Defender. But she went on to have a distinguished career in journalism, covering the civil rights movement, at some threat to her well-being, covering some of those events. And then she covered the American involvement in Vietnam, particularly focusing on the African-American soldiers and so on, and became an advocate for civil rights. But pretty much unknown. Oh, by the way, she was also, I'm pretty sure I'm right about this, the very first black on-air journalist on television. She worked for CBS.
Okay.
At the first national correspondent, and she was on CBS. Well, I didn't know about it, and she pretty much faded from public view until James McGrath Morris, wrote this biography that came out last year. And I know Jamie Morris pretty well for some years. He was really sort of instrumental in getting us established with the Great Lives series. He was the founder of and then president of something called Biographers International Organization, which is the main professional organization of biographers. And he is a terrific person and a wonderful speaker. He's been here before on the subject of his first biography, which was Joseph Pulitzer. And I was so impressed with his presentation, I thought, gosh, if Jamie ever writes another biography, we've got to try to get him back. Well, here it is with Ethel Payne. And it's a fascinating story that I hope people will come to it, because it's really a worthy topic. And we're doing it when we're doing it, as well as Jesse Owens, because it's in celebration of Black History Month.
Okay.
So I think that people will be very, very pleasantly surprised and will learn a great deal from that lecture.
Bob Hope on March the 8th, Bob Hope, both an entertainer and someone who spent a lot of time going overseas and entertaining the troops, had quite a life.
Right. I didn't think about it until just now, but it's kind of interesting that probably the least known person on the in the lineup, Ethel Payne, is followed by the one that everybody knows,
right.
Bob Hope.
Yeah.
Richard Zoglin is the speaker. He's the author of a very, very big biography of Hope that came out, I think, last year, maybe the year before, but in any case, probably came out in 15 or maybe 14. In any case, Richard Zoglin is the longtime entertainment editor or critic for Time magazine. And the title of his book, the subtitle, it's called Bob Hope, Entertainer of the Century. And he points out that Hope is probably the only person in the history of American entertainment that became not just a participant in, but a star in virtually every medium of entertainment. I couldn't name them all, but vaudeville, mm-hmm. radio, television, movies, on stage.
Yeah.
In fact, he says, Zoglin says, that Hope essentially invented stand-up comedy. So it's going to be a terrific lecture.
Yeah. Yeah, and so many people have a connection and know of Bob Hope because he hasn't been gone that long.
Right, right.
So, March 10th, when you talk about complex personalities.
Oh, boy.
Sherman.
Sherman was complex. And I finished reading this book not that long ago. And to say I learned a lot about Sherman would be an understatement. But, you know, if you grew up in the South like I did, Sherman was one of the really bad guys.
Yeah.
And not just in the South. I mean, you know, his march across Georgia, march to the sea and all mm-hmm. that was regarded by many people as it was devastating. But I just thought of him as sort of one-dimensional. Well, he was far more than that. And I didn't realize he was very complex. He had problems. He had demons. I mean, for a while he was regarded as he did have some mental problems. But he also became, along with Grant, probably the two biggest, well, they were the two biggest heroes of the Union in the outcome of the war.
Yep.
But the interesting thing about Sherman that I didn't realize is how enormously popular he was in the post-war era. He perennially was the Republicans' choice, maybe after Grant, because Grant was enormously popular too, but after his two terms, people every 4 years begged Sherman to run for president.
Yeah.
He could have been elected any time he wanted to, but he didn't. And you probably know one of the things he's best known for saying was, and I know you've heard this, if nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve.
Yeah.
That was his famous quote.
March the 10th will be William Tecumseh Sherman. Darwin on March the 15th. Then the March 17th is one I'm looking forward to, and I know that you've said is one of the best you've ever had. This is a repeat. Bill Nack from Sports Illustrated coming back with a Secretariat.
Yeah, I people also ask me from time to time what's my favorite in the whole course of it, and it'd be hard to choose, but Secretariat was a very, very special lecture. Bill Nack, whose daughter went to Mary Washington, is my connection with him, original connection with Bill Nack. His presentation, well, you need to see it if you haven't seen it. I mean, I bet there'll be many people. I know there's some people there the other time. I want to come back and see it again. He has wonderful film clips of the three Triple Crown races that Secretariat won. And I remember before, and it's probably true again, you have people cheering as if they were actually at the races. They're terrific. One reason I thought about bringing him back, as I said, we don't often repeat them, but there was a lot of interest in renewed interest in horse racing, in particular the thoroughbred Triple Crown races this past year with American Pharoah.
Yep.
And one other interesting thing about Bill Nack, he wrote the biography of Secretariat. And by the way, he's spoken here before, wonderful presentations on, let's see, he did Muhammad Ali, and he did Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
So he's a terrific speaker. I was going to say that he not only wrote the book Secretariat, on which the movie Secretariat was based, but he was in that movie playing himself.
That's right.
So
yeah.
It was I just thought people might once again be interested in hearing about Secretariat.
Well, and so much has been made since he was here the last time in Caroline County. Secretariat's birthplace.
That's right.
They've refurbished a lot of that.
Yes, they have. I was there recently. In fact, I was there for the State Fair of Virginia is held there now.
Yeah.
So Secretariat lives on in
So there should be great interest in that. Mm-hmm.
By the way, I just wanted to say I was hoping we could get Penny Tweedy, Secretariat's owner, to come.
She doesn't travel.
She travels not. No, she doesn't travel much. She was, in fact, when I was at Meadow Farms down there last fall, they said that she was coming to some event there, and not too far from the date of this lecture, but too close to it to come back again, and too long to stay that thing.
Yeah.
But she's I think she's probably well into her 90s now. I saw her on television in the connection with the Triple Crown with American Pharoah. But it'd be great to have her, but I don't think she can make it.
Yeah, boy, but Secretariat, March 17th, mark it down, if you can make that with Bill Nack, you'll want to do that. March 22nd, Civil War female spies.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. That what Karen Abbott does is to trace the actions of four women, two Confederate, two Union, and their exploits during the war. Names that probably would not mean Belle Boyd is probably the best known one. She was the Confederate spy that was active in the Valley of Virginia. The other names probably would not be known to you. In fact, the two Unioners are not known to me at all. But interesting stories of those women. One of the Union women actually enlisted and was a soldier in the Union Army throughout the war. The other three were essentially spies, not so much active in the military aspect. But it's an interesting story.
The 24th of March, you've got Theodore Roosevelt and FDR, environmentalist presidents. Douglas Brinkley's been here before, hasn't he?
Yes. Doug Brinkley's been here a couple of times. I know he did Rosa Parks, and I can't remember now. He's been here several times. Terrific speaker, and I'm sure many people have seen him and heard him as a commentator on various television broadcasts. He's a professor now at Rice University. But the book on Theodore Roosevelt is out now. It's been out for a couple of years. But the FDR book will come out right at the time he's here to speak. So that'll be brand new. It's not out yet.
Okay.
And what he does, I can't tell you, but I mean, I know what he says he's going to do. I mean, what the publicity says, and the title indicates that it will focus on Roosevelt as an environmentalist, along with T.R. Now, most people think of Theodore Roosevelt, they think of conservation and which is the right thing to do. We don't much think about that in terms of Franklin Roosevelt. We think about the New Deal and all those programs. But he will argue that Roosevelt II, FDR, made great contributions in the area of the environment as well.
It is the Great Lives series at the University of Mary Washington. Bill Crowley here this morning, umw.edu/greatlives to look at the whole series. We'll wrap this up by talking about the last couple of lectures coming up before the year or season number 13 ends for Great Lives. More coming up on Town Talk this morning. We'll wrap this up with Bill Crowley on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Hey, get a complete heat pump installed for as low as $3,800. Bam! With the best warranty in the industry. Complete heating and cooling. CompleteMC.com. CompleteMC.com.
The News Talk 1230 WFVA Spotlight in Business is powered by Papa John's Pizza. This week, we spotlight Learning Enhancement Center. Learning Enhancement Center has helped more than 1,000 students strengthen their cognitive skills and thereby improving their grades and their confidence. The learning specialists help people of all ages overcome learning challenges, including dyslexia, ADD, and auditory disorders by developing underlying processing skills, processing speed, and executive function skills. Visit them online at learningenhancementcenters.com.
This is Dr. Daryl Guttery with South Point Quality Dental. Are you anxious about visiting the dentist? Don't feel bad. Lots of folks are. But if you let that fear prevent you from taking care of your teeth, you can end up with some very serious health problems. But now, there's something new. The next step beyond sedation dentistry. We call it sleep dentistry. And it's available only at South Point Quality Dental in the Stafford Medical Pavilion. Relax in spa-like comfort in a heated massage chair and drift off to sleep while watching Netflix or listening to your favorite music. When you wake up, you'll be done. In fact, it's so relaxing, you may actually look forward to seeing me again. How's that for a dental visit?
South Point Quality Dental offers relaxing sleep dentistry in their Stafford Medical Pavilion location. So schedule your appointment with Dr. Daryl Guttery today and sleep your dental cares away. To learn more, visit QualityDentalVA.com. That's QualityDentalVA.com.
Hey, Billy, want to go to the state fair?
Yeah!
Well, you can't.
Huh?
Well, you see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Bill Crowley, the director of Great Lives and distinguished professor emeritus of history at UMW, here talking about Great Lives. The 2016 lecture series will go through April 14th. Boy, Bill, you end strong with April the 12th, Jefferson Davis, April the 14th with Dwight D. Eisenhower. James McPherson will do Jefferson Davis. I'm looking forward to that because again, talk about a complex person. You've got that in Jefferson Davis.
Yes, you do. Widely criticized over the years, negative criticism of Davis. McPherson takes a somewhat different look. He's going to look at him mainly in the role of commander-in-chief. And I think the subtitle of his book is Embattled Commander or something like this. He'll be focusing mainly on Davis's abilities or lack thereof in terms of military commander. Meant to mention one other thing. We were talking a moment ago about the environmentalist presence.
Yes.
One reason
yeah.
we scheduled that for when we did and wanted to do it this year is that it is the 100th anniversary of the founding of the National Park Service.
Yeah.
And so they are co-sponsors of that lecture. And so it's a good thing to bring some focus on the Park Service.
Yeah. That's I hadn't even thought of that connection, but there is. You'll wrap the season up with Eisenhower on April 14th. Evan Thomas, who's well known, is the author of that.
Yeah. Evan has also spoken here a number of times. I remember he did John Paul Jones, and I've forgotten. He's been here several times. Of course, he's a major analyst, pundit, as mm-hmm. well as being professor of history at most recently, I think, at Princeton. So it's always good to have Evan here. And speaking of people that we always welcome back is a couple of weeks before that, we have Jeremy Black coming back. And I know that there are many people out there that will be excited about that because Jeremy's going to be talking this time about Oliver Cromwell. Jeremy teaches at University of Exeter in England, and I believe he holds the record for most Great Lives appearances. This would be at least his seventh or eighth. He comes virtually every year,
okay.
and always entertaining.
Okay, and so he'll have Oliver Cromwell,
right.
and boy, to have somebody that often, you got to be good to be able
he's
to
good.
Come back.
He, believe me, he's good. I think he's always an audience favorite.
It is the Great Lives series, again, we can't emphasize enough just the uniqueness of this series and the fact that it's absolutely free. And
thanks to our generous donors.
Yes. And if a person's interested in giving to the foundation or to find out how to give and get it to Great Lives, umw.edu/ Great Lives. So I guess you're already looking to next year.
Oh, yes, yes.
And
beyond. And beyond. I'm always excited about it. And I wouldn't begin to list them. I think my current list of possibilities for next year is now something over 40. So narrowing it down is always the challenge. But we'll have some good ones.
I know the community appreciates this. Do students appreciate this?
You know, Ted, I hate to say it, but I don't know. I guess it's sort of to be expected. Students are at an age where appreciation of such things is
right.
not always strong. So the students in my class are. The ones that enroll for the class, of course, they are every week, and they really, I think, enjoy it. They really get into it. I know the night of the Johnny Cash lecture, they all dressed in black for the man in black. So they have fun with it. And we have students from all across the university in different departments, different majors. We'll come to them. But being that age, they don't flock to it as I would hope. But, I mean, they do appreciate it, and it gives – a lot of times a department will encourage its majors or classes will encourage its students to come to one particularly pertinent to that
yeah.
area.
Well, I know every time I've gone and I walk away thinking this is the kind of cultural event that you assume you'd have to go to Charlottesville to see.
Well, you won't find it in Charlottesville.
No, you're going to find it in Fredericksburg.
Not to be boastful, but it just happens this is sort of a niche that we have carved out. And just sort of as it evolved. And in fact, we were contacted just last week by C-SPAN. Who are interested in broadcasting them. So if that works out, that will be good. I think they're going to do that.
Perfect for them.
It certainly seems to be. And also, people might be interested to know, if they don't already know, that most of the lectures, certainly in recent years, are archived mm-hmm. on our website. So if they miss one, they can go to the website and watch it.
Well, it's a great live series. It continues to roll on. This is one of my favorite interviews of the year. Of knowing that we're gonna talk about this. And if a person hasn't gone, you're in for a treat because I've never gone to one. Even ones when I've known very little about the person, you walk away wanting to learn a little bit more.
Well, that's the way I feel. I've certainly learned a lot myself over the course of the series.
Well, Bill, thank you for coming in. This is always good. And thank you for what you've done. You have just really grown this series to where it's at today.
Well, I can certainly say it's been my pleasure. It's been a terrific opportunity for me, and I think for the university. And appreciate your having me. I always enjoy talking to you, Ted.
Always good to have you here. And I noticed on the website there is a Great Lives team. So you don't do this.
No, I certainly. Well, I'm afraid I've said I too much. It's not I so much, actually, because we have a wonderful group of people who contribute to putting this series together, particularly the logistics of it. I'm fortunate. I tell people sometimes I just get the fun of it to get to more or less to choose. And the reason that I'm mainly responsible for choosing them is I set a course that I teach, and naturally it's my curriculum, so that's why I'm involved in choosing them. But boy, I'll tell you, when it comes to putting this, the work that goes into scheduling and all the logistics of travel plans and the reimbursement and all those kinds of things, fortunately, I think that's probably beyond me, but we have a wonderful team in our events office that takes care of all of that.
UMW.edu/Great Lives. The rest of the series, February 18th, Jesse Owens, and right on through April the 14th, Dwight D. Eisenhower. Bill Crowley here, Director of Great Lives and Distinguished Professor Emeritus of History at UMW. Again, thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
See you soon. That's it for Town Talk. See you next time on News Talk 1230 WFBA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Guests appearing on today's program are advertising partners who have purchased commercial airtime on WFVA and have been offered the opportunity to sponsor this broadcast. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
Summer isn't fun when you're hungry.
If only I had a big test today.
Or a book report to give.
Give me a math quiz.
Give me some homework.
If your child relies on free school lunches, we can help provide them with free meals this summer.
I'll stay after class.
I'll clean the chalkboard.
I'll keep my desk real clean.
So they can stop worrying about food and start focusing on fun.
I'll do extra homework.
I'll clean the class pet's cage.
I'll skip recess.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
School might end, but free lunches don't have to. Find your local Feeding America food bank for help. Together, we're feeding America.
To find your local Feeding America food bank, visit feedingamerica.org/summermeals. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My grades were bad. I would like get D's and C's.
I appeared to be doing good at my school life, but if you would see me at home, it would have been a completely different story.
I mean, it was just rough focusing on school when your mother is somebody you have to take care of.
It got worse and worse and worse throughout the years.
There are students who need somebody.
They can trust someone, and it could be the first person they've ever trusted in their life.
Communities and Schools is lowering America's dropout rate by helping more than 1.3 million kids every year get whatever they need to succeed in school.
If something was going on at home, we would go to stop by Miss Liberty's office and talk to her.
Communities and Schools vouched for me when everyone else had lost hope.
You can help change the picture of education right here in your community and across the nation. Visit communitiesandschools.org.
I hear people say we can't save every kid, but I think that we can.